Father, we come to you now asking for your help, asking for your power, asking for your conviction. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Last week we said that we should cooperate together to spread the gospel. And if we were to do that, we needed to be faithful. We needed to be available. And we needed to be bold. And this week, I just want to give you a practical message. This isn't some deep theological study. This isn't something that we reach down deep into the passage to bring up. But it's something that's very practical for us in our daily living for the Lord. I want to give you this very practical message about two people that were all those things. They were available. They were faithful. They were bold. And how you can emulate them in our own walk with the Lord. Aquila and Priscilla are introduced once again into the Scriptures, having met Paul earlier in the chapter at Corinth. They traveled with him. After Paul tarried there yet a good while, after Gallio made his decision not to prosecute Paul, Paul was able then to remain for a large length of time to be able to establish the church of Corinth. But there came a time when, it doesn't say why, but that he departed from Corinth, and he was going to make his way back to Antioch to set up his third missionary journey. And with him, when he departed, Aquila and Priscilla went with him. And the Bible says that they came to Ephesus and he left them there. He left them there. So Aquila and Priscilla stayed in Ephesus. He went into the synagogues as was his custom and preached to them, but tarried not long with them. They wanted him to stay, but he didn't have the time to stay. He had to get back to Jerusalem for the feast, and he had shorn his head and made a vow. So people kind of are, well, which vow is that and things, because normally you shave your head at the end of the vow. So they weren't sure which vow, but nevertheless, he had made a vow, and he wanted to complete this vow in Jerusalem at the feast. And so he didn't tarry there at Ephesus with those that were at the synagogue. He went on to Caesarea and then went to Jerusalem and then down to Antioch, the Bible says, and went to different parts of the region, Galatia and Phrygia, and strengthening the disciples. So it gives a little bit of a synopsis of where Paul went when he left Corinth and he went to Ephesus. But a very important part here is that he left in Ephesus Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila and Priscilla were everyday servants of the Lord. Aquila was not a pastor, but this couple desired to serve God. They knew the Scriptures. They were bold in their witness. They were everyday servants. So I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes on this subject, everyday servants. Everyday servants. Number one, everyday servants are involved in ministry. Did you know, and you probably do, that ministry is not a Sunday event? We do much of our ministry on Sunday. We have Sunday school and we have morning worship and we have evening worship and there's greeting to be done and there's a greeting of guests and things to be done. So there are things that we do on Sunday. But ministry, by and large, really doesn't happen on Sunday. I know the old adage of the joke about the preacher, well, I'd love to be a preacher, he only works one day a week. But the truth is that's far from reality. Sunday is the culmination of ministry that has happened all day, every day, all week long. The greeting of the guest is the culmination of the work that has gone on through the week. It's the soul winning and the visitation and the invites that went out and the calls that were made and the visits that were made and the emails that were sent and the text messages that were sent. That, friend, is the everyday ministry that culminated in the visitor walking through the door. It's the culmination of the people that came to your class to be taught. It's the culmination of the kids that were on the bus route to be brought to church. It's the culmination. Everything that happens on Sunday isn't, it's not Sunday ministry. It happened throughout the week, and Sunday simply a culmination of it. And let me tell you something, ministry is all week long. It's not a Sunday event. Ministry is every day. Now, some people are Sunday servants. Now, come on, there are people who are Sunday servants. They will be at church on Sunday. You can count on them. They're going to be there. They'll be there. They'll be in their spot. You can probably even tell, know where they're going to sit. Right? They are Sunday servants. Yes, they will be in church on Sunday. And by the way, on Wednesday. So if you want to say Sunday and Wednesday servants, it didn't just sound as good as Sunday servants. All right? So they'll be here on Sunday and they'll be here on Wednesday. They may even participate in various activities on Sunday. They'll be involved in some of the things that go on Sunday. They're teaching a class on Sunday, or they're helping with music, or they're a greeter for our guest. They'll be there on Sunday. They might ride the bus. I'm just telling you that there are things that Sunday servants do. And I'm glad for everything that everyone does on Sunday. But it doesn't change the fact that there are simply people who are Sunday servants. They're going to be here for church. They'll be involved in the activities when church is assembled. They'll be involved in the meals that are prepared if we have dinner on the ground. They'll do all of those things. They'll be there on Sunday. You can count on it. It's going to be a faithful attendance on Sunday. But that's it. They're Sunday servants. They don't serve on other days of the week, or it's a rare thing for them to, because they are Sunday servants. Everyday servants are involved in ministry every day. Now, I don't mean that that means they're going out and preaching or they're going out and teaching necessarily, but they're in ministry every day, from encouraging a brother in Christ to showing love to someone that's struggling. From passing out invites to church to witnessing someone whose paths crosses theirs. From sending a postcard to a new guest to visiting them and thanking them for their visit. From a phone call to someone that wasn't at church to a visit to someone that was sick. Everyday servants are not Sunday servants. They serve others every day to the glory of God. Everyday servants. What does that mean? That means that I'm involved in ministry. If I'm an everyday servant, it means I'm involved in ministry every day. Now, it may simply be a showing of love, the love of God, to even a stranger, to a brother in Christ. It might be checking on somebody that's been sick. But I'm just simply saying, everyday servants are others driven. They're others driven. They're not, they don't look in and say, what do I have on my plate for this week? What am I going to do for me this week? What am I going to accomplish this week? What is my schedule this week? They are people who say, who can I help this week? Who can I encourage this week? Who can I love this week? Who can I pour out myself into this week? Who can I influence for Christ this week? Everyday servants aren't Sunday servants. They're not people that just show up on Sunday and are willing to participate in the activities on Sunday and then do nothing throughout the week and think about no one throughout the week. They're others driven. Everyday servants are others driven. They want to concentrate on other people. They want to be there for others. They want to minister to other people. They're not Sunday servants. They're everyday servants. And this was Aquila and Priscilla. They were everyday servants. How do you know, preacher, that they were everyday servants? The Bible says that he left them in Ephesus. And later on in the passage, when Paul gets back from Ephesus, there they are. Doesn't mention anybody else from Ephesus. doesn't mention any other pastors from Ephesus. What does it mention? It mentions a couple that was left there by Paul to guide the church of Ephesus in his absence. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, it was very common. If you look in other passages of Scripture, there were other times where Paul would leave Timothy and he would go on to something else. And he was leaving Timothy there for a purpose to continue to lead and guide the congregation. There were times where he would leave Silas there and he would lead and guide the congregation. And then they would meet back up with him later when the people were strengthened and there were elders that were ordained in that place or whatever the case may be. It was a common thing for Paul to leave behind those that traveled with him in his company to oversee the church that he was leaving so that he could move on to another ministry. And that's exactly what happened here. He left them there. Why do you think Paul, left Aquila and Priscilla at the church of Ephesus to oversee it in his absence? I'll tell you why. They were everyday servants. Hey, by the way, I told you Aquila wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a pastor. Priscilla wasn't a pastor's wife. You know what they were? They were a couple who loved Jesus. Hey, you know what? They had a job. They were tent makers. They ran a business. They were busy every day with customers and repairing tents and doing that. Now, tent making was a broad understanding of the occupation. It is also it's also known for people that have worked in leather. So tent making or tent repair may have actually been just one part of their business. They worked in leather. So they had a business. They had customers. They had things to do. They had to make their living. Yes, they did. But they were everyday servants and they were there to care for the church and they were there to minister to the church. They were everyday servants of God, encouraging people in the Word, telling people of Jesus, building up the church and edifying the church. Oh, yes, they were everyday servants. They had a business to run. They had things to do. But they weren't Sunday servants. They were everyday servants, reaching out to people, encouraging people, loving people, ministering to people, giving the gospel to people. They were everyday servants. So everyday servants, number one, are involved in ministry every day. Number two, everyday servants are knowledgeable in the Scriptures. If we look in verse 24, the Bible says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." Apollos was a man from Alexandria. Alexandria was known as, just as Athens was known as the city with more gods than people, Alexandria was known as the city of education. The city of education. From the ruins of Alexandria, there has been 700,000 volumes of books discovered. They were people that sought greater understanding of life. They were educated people. The Bible calls Apollos an eloquent man, which means he spoke well. He was a good speaker. He was a convincing speaker. And the Bible says that he believed God. He believed in God. The Bible says this man also was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. You know why it was important for Luke to say this? It was important for Luke to include this because it was, after all, Apollos was, after all, a man from Alexandria. Alexandria wasn't exactly known for being monotheistic in their thinking. Alexandria was just like any other Roman city. They believed in the gods, they promoted the gods, and much of their philosophy was based upon pagan ritual. Okay? So the fact, so he says he's a man from Alexandria, very knowledgeable, an eloquent man, very convincing in his speech. But he went on to say, but he knew God. He knew the way of the Lord. But it says he knew only the baptism of John. And we'll get to that in a moment. So he believed in God. He was educated in the law of God. So he was educated in the Torah. He knew about the baptism of John. Now that's simply what this means. When someone understood the baptism of John, that did not mean they were a Christian. John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. What was John's job? John's job was to be the forerunner of Christ, preaching repentance from their unbelief, because many Jews had turned away from their belief. Many Jews had stopped looking for the Messiah. Many Jews had just accepted the way that things were, and they were no longer living according to the law. They were no longer looking for the Messiah. They weren't doing that. And so he came in preaching repentance, and he was teaching them to look for the Messiah. So Apollos knew the law. He understood the way of the Lord in regards to the law. And he was familiar with the baptism of John. He understood that as a believer in the law of God, we were to be people who were repentant toward God, and we were people who looked for the Messiah. That was the extent of his understanding, though. As educated as Apollos was in the way of the Lord, Aquila and Priscilla were able to speak with him in knowledge about the Scriptures and introduce him to the Messiah he understood he was to be looking for. So he knew he was to be looking for the Messiah, but he did not yet know the Messiah was Jesus Christ. Aquila and Priscilla understood this from his teaching. They heard him teach. Man, what an eloquent speaker. He taught the law. Yep, he's right down the line in teaching the law of God. That's right. That's right. That's right. But he stopped short of saying Jesus is the Messiah. That was the issue. And that's the change we'll see, because in verse 28 it says, "For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ." Verse 28 is what's missing in his speech to the synagogue when Aquila and Priscilla were talking to him. That's what was missing. See, he understood the law. He understood the way of God. He understood that he was to be looking for the Messiah. What he didn't know is Jesus was he. And Aquila and Priscilla took him aside, and they were able to present to him the way of God more perfectly. Now, how did Aquila and Priscilla do that if they didn't have the knowledge of the Scriptures? They couldn't have. This eloquent, convincing speaker, very knowledgeable in the law of God, stands before the people and captivates his audience. And Aquila and Priscilla say he's only missing one thing. And they bring him aside, possibly to their house. It's generally how they would talk philosophy in those days. They'd bring him to the house and sit him down and put a meal before him. And the Bible says they expounded the Scriptures more perfectly. They showed him that the Messiah he was looking for was Jesus. And the only way that Aquila and Priscilla could have done that with an educated man from Alexandria is if they knew the Scriptures themselves. Everyday servants of God serve in the ministry every day, but everyday servants of God are also knowledgeable in the Scriptures. We ought to be knowledgeable in the Scriptures. You want to be an everyday servant of God where you can give somebody the gospel or tell people about God anywhere and everywhere, you need to be knowledgeable in the Scripture. Hey, remember one of our three things we talked about last week when we talked about cooperating together for the gospel? It was be available, be faithful, be bold. You say, well, I don't know if I could be bold, you know, like other people I've seen. You know why? You know the reason why most people can't be bold? It's because they fear that they don't have the answers. Now somebody said, well, it's not my personality. God didn't give you that out. He didn't say, he didn't give the Great Commission to everybody with a personality. No. Did he?
No, that's right.
He said, go ye into all the world, all of you. All Christians are to go into all the world. Everybody is supposed to be involved in preaching the gospel. Everybody is supposed to be involved in teaching people about Jesus Christ. Everybody's to be involved in sending missionaries across the seas to their mission field. Everybody's to be involved. Personality doesn't fit into the mix. So, yeah, you're supposed to be bold. But I think more than it's personality or more than I'm shy, it's I fear I don't have the answers. That's why I don't want to be bold in the scriptures. That's why I don't want to be bold in presenting the gospel. That's why I don't want to be bold in telling others about Jesus Christ. I don't want to be bold because I fear I don't know the answers. But we are to be bold. And if you're going to be an everyday servant where when you have the opportunity, when you're given the opportunity to present the gospel or to minister in some way to somebody, you're going to have to know the scriptures. You're going to have to know the scriptures. Somebody's family member dies and they come to you grieving. What are you going to tell them? What hope are you going to offer them? Well, if you don't know the scriptures, you're not going to really know how to explain the hope that they have, that they can have in Jesus Christ, are you? So when people come and say, hey, remember what we've been talking about in Peter, 1 Peter? That we ought to be able to give an answer of the hope that is within us. That's what it's talking about. Everyday servants can give an answer to the hope that's in them. Why? Because they're knowledgeable of the scriptures. Thirdly, everyday servants are proclaimers of the gospel. Everyday servants are proclaimers of the gospel. Now look, I'm going to be very as kind as I can, but very bold in my statement here. If you don't tell people about Jesus Christ, you're not an everyday servant. If you don't give out gospel tracts and do your best to see people come to know Jesus. Now, I didn't say you had to have people saved. I know that a lot of people say, well, you ought to win one person to the Lord every week. Or whatever. It's not your job to win them. That's the Holy Spirit's job to draw them to the Lord. And the Lord saves them. You don't save them.
Amen.
But if you're not out proclaiming the gospel, if you're not, and I'm not talking about, I'm not just talking about Tuesdays and Saturdays when we go out soul winning, when we start that up again in the springtime. I'm talking about being an everyday servant. You know what the truth is we have Tuesday night and Saturday morning visitation, but the goal of those ministries is to never ever have to have them again. Now, of course, we'll always have them because you want to always have them because you want to always be able to have a forum to be able to teach new people how to witness and how to tell people about Jesus, right? But my point is this. We get you to come on Tuesday and Saturday so you'll make it an everyday thing, so that you'll make it a way of life. It's kind of like a diet. A doctor will tell you, don't go on a diet. Change the way you eat forever. That's what a doctor will tell you. Because if you change the way you eat and just keep it that way, you'll feel a lot better. You'll have a lot more better results. You'll have better results and all that. It's kind of like that. If you want to be an everyday servant, you might start with Tuesday and Saturday to get to know how to do it and get to know some of the terminology and get to know some of the scriptures and be trained by somebody that knows how to win people to Christ and tell people about Jesus and present the scriptures and you might even go with somebody who's eloquent like Paulus. But the whole point of Tuesday and Saturday is so eventually you just become an everyday servant. You're just one that proclaims the gospel to everybody as you have opportunity to give the gospel to people here and there. You don't have to go on Tuesday night because you're doing it every day. You don't have to go on Saturday morning. Now, I want you to come on Tuesdays and Saturdays, okay? But my point is that we should be everyday servants. We ought to be looking for the opportunities to present the gospel and win people to Jesus every day. And I fail too. But it ought to be in our hearts and it ought to be in our desire to see people know Jesus and to see people come to the place where they realize that Jesus is the Messiah, to give the gospel and to spread the gospel throughout our community. That ought to be our desire. We ought to be proclaimers every day. We ought to be everyday servants. We ought to show the love of God to people every day. So maybe one day you can have the opportunity to. You might not be able to stop somebody and give them the whole plan of salvation. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I remember one time I was at a restaurant with Brina, and we were in Applebee's, and we were sitting there enjoying a meal, and it wasn't real busy. I mean, it was pretty. There might have been two other tables taken up in the whole restaurant or something, and our waiter was kind of over-waitering us because we were kind of his only people. You know, got to get the money out of the, if you only have one table, you got to get the money out of that one table, right? And so he's kind of over-waiting us, and I said, hey, so-and-so, I said, do you know if you were to die today, if you were going to heaven? He said, no, I don't. I said, would you like to have a seat and let me tell you? And I got to let him have a seat, and we got to give the gospel, and he got saved.
Amen.
Now look, don't go into the restaurant on Friday night at 6:30 in the evening and expect your waiter to sit down and have a full conversation about the gospel with you. But you can leave a track. You can say, hey, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I want you to know what I know about him. And it's right here on this. It's not everything, but it's some of the things that you need to know. I'm going to leave this for you, along with a good tip. Don't leave one of our tracks if you don't leave a good tip. Please. Please don't be one of the, please don't be like the guy that I waited on when I was in college and I went there and he would leave a rock with a verse painted on it with 50 cents on the table every time he came in. And everybody was like, please don't sit in my section. Please don't sit in my section. And he'd sit in my section. And I was like, ah. Because you knew you were getting a rock and 50 cents. A rock with a Bible verse. Please don't give a track and give 50-cent tip. Please give a 20% tip if you leave a track. But I'm just simply saying we got to be everyday servants. Now there's times where we're not going to have the time to sit down and have a whole gospel conversation and tell them about God, Jesus and how he died on the cross, and we're not going to be able to go through the whole thing, but we can be everyday servants looking for every opportunity that we have to give the gospel. Hey, Aquila and Priscilla were looking for opportunities. Hey, they were Christians. They were a part of the church of Ephesus. They were meeting on Sunday. Why were they at the synagogue on Saturday?
Yep.
Looking for opportunities, just like Paul taught them to. Why did Paul go to the synagogue on Saturdays to tell people about Jesus and to minister to them on Saturday? I mean, he went and preached on Sunday at the church, right? Why was he there on Saturday? Opportunity to present the gospel. Why was he standing in the marketplace in some of the cities that he went to? Opportunity. Why did Paul do anything that he did? Opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Yes, he made tents. Yes, he had a job. Yes, he had to pay his bills. But his primary responsibility, he understood, and Aquila and Priscilla understood, their business wasn't the primary focus of their attention and their life. It was being an everyday servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for opportunities to present the gospel. Everyday servants are in the ministry every day. Everyday servants are knowledgeable in the scriptures, and everyday servants are proclaimers of the gospel. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Aquila and Priscilla exhibited their boldness to approach a man that was apparently known for his education and his knowledge. They did not let his status intimidate them because they knew the scriptures and they knew the truth, and they were willing to be bold in proclaiming the scripture even to educated Apollos. You see, it didn't matter his status. It didn't matter that he was educated. It didn't matter that he was eloquent. They realized he doesn't know everything because he doesn't know about Jesus. And I want to tell them about Jesus. And he got saved. He got born again. And in 1 Corinthians, we learned that Apollos was one of those that people would say, I am of Apollos. Remember, they were fighting, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of this. Apollos was one of those that they were saying, I'm of Apollos. You know why? Because Apollos had went to Corinth. We find out later in the passage of Scripture. He left here. This man in charge. And then verse 26, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. Achaia was another deal for the church of Corinth. They gave him a letter of transfer to be received into the church in Corinth. And he said this, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Hey, you know what Aquila and Priscilla saw? They said, man, he'd be a good preacher. He'd be a good soul winner. All he needs to realize is that the Messiah he's looking for is Jesus. Amen. And they introduced him to Jesus. And Apollos became a great teacher in the church of Corinth. Aquila and Priscilla had a part in that. Hey, Aquila wasn't a preacher. Priscilla wasn't a pastor's wife. They were just everyday people, yielding themselves to the use of the Lord as everyday servants. So, some simple questions for you today. Are you a Sunday servant? Or are you an everyday servant? Think about it. Yeah, you come on Sunday and Wednesday, and yeah, you participate in whatever's on Sunday and Wednesday. What about the rest of the time? And I'm not talking about what the rest of the time at church. I'm talking about what do you do the rest of the week? Do you love on people? Do you encourage people? Do you call people that were sick? Do you reach out to people? Do you encourage the brethren? Do you reach out to lost souls? Do you try to win people? Do you do anything in the ministry outside of Sunday and Wednesday that could account to something that is meaningful for eternity? Or are you just a Sunday servant? Hey, you know what? There's going to be Sunday servants in every church. But I'll tell you this, I wouldn't want to be one of them. Are you looking for ways to serve and encourage others every day? Are you willing to do things on Sunday or Wednesday, but the rest of the week is for something else? Are you learning the scriptures daily so you can be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you? Are you looking for daily for the opportunities to give the gospel? Simply put, are you a Sunday servant or an everyday servant? Are you in the ministry every day? Are you knowledgeable in the scriptures? Are you? And are you a proclaimer of the gospel? Truly, are you a proclaimer of the gospel? Now, that's an either up or down thing. That's a yes or no thing. It's pretty easy to know if you've given the gospel to somebody over the last week. It's pretty easy to know if you've given the gospel to somebody over the last month. It's pretty easy to know if you've given the gospel in the last year to anyone. And I'd say if you haven't done it in the last year, you're not a proclaimer of the gospel. If it's been a couple of months, you better get back at it if you're going to be an everyday servant. Now look, I'm just telling you, I want to be an everyday servant. I want to be an Aquila and Priscilla. One that says, hey, yeah, I've got responsibilities. I've got a business to run. I've got customers. I've got things to do. But the most important thing in my life is Jesus Christ and spreading the good news of His gospel to other people. Is that you? Are you an everyday servant? Or are you just a servant on Sunday? Father, we thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You now for the time that You've given to us to hear from Your Word. And God, I just pray that You would speak to our hearts this morning. Pray that You have spoken to our hearts and that we would respond in a way that is appropriate. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.